Psalm chapter 150. If you're glad to be in church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's always a joy to be in the Lord's house.
Yeah.
And again, if you're not careful, you get caught up. And I'm as guilty as anybody. We get caught up in who is or who ain't or what is or what ain't going on. But the fact of it is, the Lord knew today. I sure didn't expect so many people to be out, but God knew.
That's right.
And so we're just going to go on for the Lord. And here's the best part about all this: sickness and sin and slothfulness. There's your three-pointer, why people miss church. It's all going to pass away very soon, like he said.
Right.
And I've been watching, trying to keep up. I'm not a major scholar, if you would, when it comes to biblical prophecy. But folks, there ain't a thing in the world that has to happen for the Lord to come back, to get us out of here. By the way, the rapture and the second coming are not the same event, but nothing has to happen. There's not another war that needs to take place. There's not another president that needs to go in. And nothing else has to happen. Right now, and I can show you in your King James Bible, if you believe the Word of God, I can show you that there is nothing left for that trumpet to sound. And when the trumpet sounds, the Bible said the dead in Christ, that's those saints of God who have died on, will rise first. That's their physical body that will meet their soul in the air. Then those of us who are alive and remain shall be called up. Now listen to me. It is a Wednesday night, and I know the crowd's down and sickness is virulent and rampant. But listen to me. If this is the last service that God give us, we ought to have church. And we better pray. We better hope to God and pray. If somebody's here lost, they don't leave that way, because we don't have very long. While I'm here, it is my obligation to the Lord and my calling to preach the Word of God, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and with doctrine. And so if God will help us tonight, that's what we'll do. And I'm just going to give you what God's put in my heart. How many of y'all know I could preach out of John 3:16 and God can reach a prodigal? And me preaching to a sinner. Or I can preach to the church and God reach a sinner. That's what Holy Ghost preaching does. And so that's my prayer tonight. And as we look at Psalm chapter 150. And let's begin reading tonight in verse number 1. Psalm 150 verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Very familiar. The Bible said, praise ye the Lord. And praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. That's exactly what just took place. Verse number 5, praise Him upon the loud cymbals and praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And verse number 6 is where we'll gather our thought. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's read verse 6 again. Let everything that hath breath. How many of y'all is breathing tonight? Did you know praising God ain't just for those who are saved? If you're here tonight and you're on your way to hell, you ought to lift your hands up to heaven that God ain't took you out of here yet. You ought to lift your voice and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm still on the planet and I'm not in hell somewhere. I mean, everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. I want to preach a thought God give me, and it's as redneck can get. But I want to preach on this thought. If you're still breathing, you ought to be bellering. Amen. If you're still breathing, you ought to be. How many of y'all know what bellering is? Somebody say, that's what cows do. They better. That's lifting your voice. That's shouting. That's giving praise to God because you're still breathing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Now, God, I need you touch tonight. Lord, there's souls that, God, are in the balance between heaven and hell. Lord, there's saints here tonight that are discouraged and weary. Lord, there's people in sin. God, there's people on the mountaintop. There's people in every walk of different walks of life. And I pray tonight, God, Holy Ghost, that you'd preach to me and through me. God, help me not get focused on material things and numbers and, Lord, all the things that hurt my pride. But God, I pray, oh God, that you'd give me power and unction, Lord, Lord, the preaching, the power, and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us tonight. We'll thank you for what you do, and for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, we want to preach on, if you breathe in, you ought to be better. And may I say, if you were to go all the way back to Psalm chapter number 1, what you'll find is there are 6 verses in Psalm chapter number 1, and there are 6 verses in Psalm chapter 150. Psalm 150 being the last of the 150 of the Psalms, and Psalm chapter number 1 being the first of them. Both Psalms are short. Both Psalms are very memorable, but both Psalms share a very different perspective. If you were to go back to the first Psalm, you would find Psalm chapter number 1 concludes by giving us clear instruction as to what our duty is to God by challenging us in our preparation. Psalm chapter number 1 challenges us to be prepared for the Lord. Psalm chapter 1 number 150 challenges us to praise Him. Now, I said that to say this. If you'll take Psalm 1 chapter 1 seriously, you can live in Psalm chapter 150 seriously. My friend, a lot of people cannot praise God because they have failed in their preparation for God. You don't just get to come up in here and get your church on. Come on, somebody. I mean, I see it all the time all over social media. Well, he's drinking Saturday night, but bless God, Sunday morning, we're going to go get our church on. Oh, no, friend. Real, genuine, biblical praise only comes through real, genuine preparation. I'm glad to report to you tonight, if you're not here and you're not prepared, you can be prepared. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm glad that we got a place that we can come to that prepares us to meet our God. The Word of God said this, that you are to prepare yourself because one day you will meet your God. Do I got anybody in the house that recognizes that, my friend, that time is surely running out? I know some of y'all's going through storms and feel like it's fixing to kill you. But listen to me, it may not get fixed on this side, but I don't believe we're going to be on this side very much longer. There's some of you going through storms that's fixing to kill you. There's some of y'all that's in a bad position concerning your soul. Can I say you'd better make preparation to meet your God? How many of y'all know the Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment? I don't want to live my life failing to prepare. I want to live my life prepared so I can praise God with what lifespan of years He has given me. I want to praise the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, if we won't praise Him, that the rock shall cry forth on our behalf. Can I say, all the way from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150, that my friend, the psalmist has been full of praising God. But here, he takes the time in the very last psalm to conclude of the book of Psalms. He once again gives us this charge to praise the Lord. Did you know 13 times in Psalm chapter 150, you find the word praise 13 times in Psalm chapter 150. How many of y'all know what the number 13 means in your Bible? 13 is the number of rebellion. I begin to contemplate why would the Bible have praised 13 times in the last book of the book of Psalms. And here's what the Holy Ghost spoke to me. It's going to be awfully hard to be rebellious towards God when you're rejoicing towards God. You want to overcome rebellion, you need to live a life that you can rejoice in God. How can you rejoice? How can you praise? You must prepare. And so if you've taken Psalm 1 seriously and prepared yourself for God, then you can take Psalm 150 seriously and praise God. And if you've prepared to God and you're praising God, you can overcome the number 13 of rebellion. I mean, thank God it's a whole lot better to be on this side of the river praising God as it is on the other side rebellious towards God. I don't want to die in rebellion towards the God of heaven tonight. I want to live my life praising Him. Some praise God for show. We're going to dissect this psalm tonight. Look here, some people praise God for show. I mean, they want everybody to know they're at church. Come on, somebody. We're going to get into it. I'm jumping a little ahead of myself, but there's a song behind every song. There's a songbird, as Brother John said it, from the glory world. And you're either in tune with God or you're not when you're praising God. Some people praise God, it'll send a chill up your spine, but not the right kind of chill. Can I get a little help? I mean, I've seen old ladies stand up and shout Holy Ghost goosebumps crawl all over me, and I've seen ladies stand up and shout, I want to leave. Can I get a witness? God's got a rhythm to His praise. Some people praise God for show. Some people praise God for stuff. They ain't never going to shout, Brother Chris, unless God's done helped them with their stuff. I mean, the preacher can get up and preach on Calvary, they ain't going to raise a hand. Preacher, a sinner can come and fall on an altar and get saved, and they ain't going to shout or run the aisles. But bless God, let God fix their transmission all of a sudden. Woo! I said, woo! I said, hey, God's not impressed with praising Him over stuff. I mean, God needs some people to realize this thing ain't shallow. I praise God not because of what He's done or what He can do, but who God is. That's why I praise Him tonight. Some people praise for show. Some people praise for stuff. Here's a bad one. Some people praise God for self. They want everybody to think, well, look how spiritual they are. Did you know, I don't care how many times you shout, run the aisle, say amen, clap your hands, sing a song, or even preach a sermon. If you're doing it for any other reason but Him, it is vain. Can I tell you what real praise will be? Real praise to God will not be a show. It will not be done for stuff. It will not be done for self. Real praise. Now listen to me. Hold on to this. Real praise will always be a sacrifice. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now what is a sacrifice? In order to have a sacrifice, Brother Caleb, something must die.
Right.
All throughout this Bible we find sacrificial, sacrificial, sacrificial. By the way, this ain't the message, but God's been working it in my heart double overtime. You know what sacrificial, we make a lot of sacrificial giving. You know what that is? I think it's to help somebody make. Sacrificial giving is not just giving a little extra than what you know you can. Sacrificial giving is literally dying to yourself and killing your financial status and killing, Sunday night. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know about this sacrificial giving. I don't get it. I mean, I'll give. I'll calculate my bills. And I'll go through everything. And whatever I got left, I'll give. You know what I told them there in our church? I said, keep your money. Amen. I ain't playing them games, preacher. I said, just keep your money. Bless God, if we can't get a sacrifice out of you, just keep your money. God's got to do it. These little kids give sacrificially $100. I say, bless His name, we'll take their money. Amen. Sacrificial giving is not giving what you can. It's giving what you know you can't. That's exactly what it is. And you know what real praise is? It's when you give something you don't want to give. Some of y'all don't, you want to sing, but your flesh don't want you to sing. So it's going to be a sacrifice for you to sing. But until you die, you can't really praise God. Somebody asked me, said, Brother Josh, Tuesday night that meeting when them boys quote scripture, you was walking around. I wasn't running, I wasn't shouting, I was walking around saying, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Why? Because I don't know why, but for whatever reason, God spoke to me. I'm standing right here. He said, you need to die. I said, okay, how are we going to do it? And I was shouting on my own, and God just kept telling me, you need to die. I said, how are we going to do it, Lord? And I said, amen, Brother Dax, that's good. You need to die. Finally, I said, I know what He means. I need to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
So I started walking around in circles,
right,
looking like a fool.
That's all right.
Ain't nobody know what I was doing. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I was walking around in circles. I wasn't shouting. I wasn't running. I wasn't hooting or brawling. I was walking around in circles. Why? Because I needed to die. God made me die Tuesday night. And some of y'all, you had to die. Some of you ladies, you want to shout in the spirit, but your stinking rotten carnal flesh hates what you do, and you ain't willing to die. But glory to God, it's untold what kind of church we really have. If people would die and praise God, what is praise? It is the sacrifice of you and I giving praise to His name. name. I don't want to praise God for a show. I don't want to praise God for stuff. I don't want to praise God for self. I want to praise God through sacrifice tonight. And all real biblical praise will crucify the flesh and will compliment the Father. All real biblical praise will crucify the flesh and compliment the Father. Did you know all forms of praise in your King James Bible can either be seen, heard, or both? You ever heard this? Well, I praise God on the inside. You can't. I need a little help. More than two of you. You can't do that. All praise in the Bible is an outward expression of what's taking place inwardly. You can worship God inwardly, but you cannot praise God inwardly. You know what praising God is in your Bible? It's crying out with a loud voice. It's clapping your hands. You say, preacher, why y'all do that? It ain't just to keep a rhythm to the Blues Brothers. Can I get a witness? It's to praise God. I mean, that's a form of praising God. Did you know dancing? We're going to get to it in a moment. Dancing, I'm talking about perverted dancing. I'm not talking about shaking till you fall over dancing. I'm talking about charismatic dancing. The best example of spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, sacrificial, praising God through dancing I've ever seen, and y'all ever seen, is by Big Red. When he gets up here and he starts twirling, he's the only man I've ever seen do it. But I believe, that's just in my mind now, I believe that's exactly what David looked like when he danced before the Lord. It ain't sensual. It ain't sexual. It ain't carnal. It's Holy Ghost dancing before the Lord. Now, if y'all know him outside of here, he's very reserved. He don't get out and talk to everybody. He's not a big, bold personality. That takes a sacrifice for him to do that. But it's biblical and it honors God. Forms of praise are always seen, heard, or both. Runnings in the Bible. Look here, I'm for all of it. How many of y'all know if you don't get taught on this subject, the church can go haywire? And by the way, we're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. And here's the problem. If you go too far to the truth side, you're dead. If you go too far to the spirit side, you're charismatic. But if you walk in the middle of the road, there is a way to praise God in spirit and in truth. When you praise God, it's always an outward expression of what God has done inwardly. Therefore, my friend, as long as we're breathing, here's your old redneck title, we ought to be bellering. Yeah. I need a little help. As long as you're breathing, y'all ain't doing a real good job when I'm preaching on praise. As long as you're breathing, you ought to be bellering. Yeah. Amen. God don't owe you nothing. You say, well, I've had a bad day. Is he still on the throne? Is your name still in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has God still saved your never-dying, wretched, rotten soul? I mean, dear God Almighty, I don't care if the crowd's down. I don't care if COVID's crawling on everybody in here. God's still good. God still came by and met with us. God still saved our soul. God still give us our hopes and dreams. God's still been good to us. God's still our provider. God's still our provider. God's still our provider. God's still our protector. Somebody ought to haul off and praise the Lord tonight. Praise his name because of who he is. Amen. When this settles in your heart, you won't have to have a full church to shout. When this gets settled in your heart, you won't have to be feeling good to sing. Amen. It'll be a real sacrifice, which is what biblical praise is tonight. Just in case you need a reminder, we have much to praise God for. Oh yeah. Can I just take this walk down memory lane for a moment? I got points on this. Maybe we'll get to them, maybe we won't. This is a low, low, low crowd tonight. Yeah. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. Right. Okay, I'm talking about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. This would have been a high day.
Sure.
I come in and I had to pray. You know what a low crowd bother me? You know what it hurts? My pride.
Yeah.
It's what it hurts.
Sure.
I mean, I'm hating to be so honest with you, but if we're going to have a real church, I'm going to be real honest. Low crowds, I think, be one reason that hurt my pride. I take everything personal.
Sure.
I say, my God, I mean, they don't care enough in that money. In some cases, that's the truth.
That's right.
Some people don't care enough to be here. But that ain't the case with everybody. And I know that. But it still hurts my pride because you know what I want? I want a full house. And when I don't get a full house, even if I don't get the house that we're supposed to have full, it hurts my stinking pride. And I look out and I stick my thumb in my mouth and suck on it for about 2 hours. And if I'm not careful, I'll rob y'all of what God wants for you.
you. I rob myself of what God wants for me. I rob us of what God wants for us. All because I'm pounding around. But you ought to have to pray. I had to tell him before God and everybody. He's listening. You heard me. I said, God, I'm let down for one reason tonight. My pride's hurt. My stinking ego's hurt. I feel like that this church ought to be better than this. I feel like I deserve more. Come on, somebody. But you know what I was reminded of? Let's take a walk down memory lane. I started with six of us, amen. I mean, I started with nothing but a promise and a paintbrush, and I'm responsible for every soul in here tonight. I've got something to praise God for tonight. Now, I know y'all's lives are all kinds of messed up too, but you still got something to praise God for. Amen. Real praise is sacrificial. I want to walk down memory lane. Just, isn't it amazing? We ain't really got to reflect. Isn't it amazing what God done last week? I'm going to tell you just some testimonies. Joe Chancey, 72, I think. You know what he told me with tears running down his face? About our little old flock here now, Brother Taylor. We're a young church, young Christians.
Right.
He'd been around the world and back. He said, Brother Josh, with tears running down his face. It's just the best meeting I've ever been in my life.
Praise the Lord.
He ain't lying to me.
That's right.
Talked to Mike Norman, what is today? Talked to Mike Norman Monday. I believe it was. He said, Brother Josh, I've held meetings, I've hosted them, I've been to them. He said, I've never been in one no better than what we was in last week.
That's good.
That's amazing.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that don't boost me, my pride, in a selfish way, fleshly way. You know what it tells me? If God can do all that with this,
yes.
What about when this
That's exactly right.
becomes all that?
Yeah.
That'll hit y'all about 4 o'clock in the morning. If God can do all that with this, what about when this becomes all that? Hey, man. I mean, when that's us. Are you listening? And I don't doubt it. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit tonight. I believe that's God's vision for everyone. I know every service ain't going to be high, but that's what God's vision is for this place. It's for this place to be overrun, where we're going to have people parking cars, not because we're having a meeting, because we're just having church. That's what God wants. And when that, hey, I'm going to pull a verse in. When our here becomes there, we got to be in, friend. I want to make for sure that I'm doing my part now at the end when my here and when my there becomes my here. It's amazing. If God can do that with this, I wonder what God will do when we get that.
Yeah.
And that's mind-boggling.
That's right.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
I hope y'all are picking that up.
Yeah.
If God can do that in our here, what will He do when we're in our there?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, London, Kentucky ain't never seen what God's going to do.
Right.
Kentucky's never seen the United States. Preacher, you're talking big talk. We serve a big God, don't we? Amen. I ain't never been satisfied with being second string. Somebody say amen. I mean, if I killed myself to be the best out in the world, you better know I'm going to kill myself to be the best church. Hey, we got to keep the testimony. We're the friendliest bunch of people ever breathed. We got to keep that here. We got to keep one of the most loving people ever seen. We got to hold on to that here. But it's going to take you and I sacrificially giving our lives so we can live in a moment of praise each and every day. We don't need to praise God in spurts.
Nope.
That needs to be a way of life. Are you listening?
Amen.
Every time something goes good, you know what you need to respond? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Every time something goes bad,
yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know what I know? Even in the bad, God has a whole bunch of good. I still don't know everything God's teaching me in this church and other churches and them boys over all that sewage mess, but praise the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something good in there that we ain't even, I've done seen some of it, but there's some good in there. We ain't got the greatest facilities, but you know what it done? Brother Edward said he's going back to Camden and he's going to tell them women, y'all got a fully furnished, I mean a nice commercial kitchen. I don't want to hear another excuse how you ain't got enough resources and y'all can't make nothing work and you're out of room. He said, I watched Stillwater's lady serve with a smile on her face, do it all out of a cubby hole. Hey, you know what I say, Miss Geneva? Praise the Lord that we've helped somebody. I mean, we've taken what little we had and just done the best we can do. We ought to praise the Lord for that tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to praise Him.
Amen.
In case you need a reminder, I'm trying to give you a few. Where was you? Just somewhere down the road, not too long ago. Some of y'all just go back 3 years to now. I mean, we ought to have to open the windows to keep the decibels from busting our eardrums. If we all really just started praising God for who He was and what He's done in our life, I mean, there'll not be a silent person. There'll not be a blank face in here. There'll not be a dry eye in the building tonight. You say, you're trying to pump us up? You darn right I am. I'm trying to get you to realize God's been good to you people. God's been good to me. God's been good to us. We got what we deserve. We haven't warned me in hell. We haven't warned me on drugs. We haven't warned me out of the world. But God has been good. And we ought to praise His name tonight. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You darn right I'm trying to pump you up. And I'm doing it in the right way too. Because we've got something to praise Him for.
Right.
If you're still breathing, you ought to be bellering. That's my thought. You ought to be bellering. I want to give us a few things tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing. Number one, if you're still breathing, you ought to be bellering because of His person.
Right, man.
Just His person, Brother Justin. Just His person is enough for you to praise the Lord. Look at verse number one. The Bible said the first four words, praise ye the Lord. Right there is enough. We don't have to go any further. Hey, listen, if you're a saint, you better hear me. If you're a sinner, if you're not saved, you better hear me. You ought to praise tonight over one thing, His person. You know what He is? He's our Father tonight if you're saved. But for those of you who are lost, He's your forgiver. Ain't nobody else can forgive you. Amen. Ain't nobody else can forgive you outside of Him and His person. And because He is your forgiver, you ought to praise Him tonight. For those that's been forgiven, He's now our Father. And we ought to praise Him tonight. I'm telling you, I want to praise God for His person tonight. Without the person of God, there is no praise of God. Without the person of God, there is no praise of God. Most people are willing to praise God for what He's done. But the objective of praise tonight is not what He's done, it's who He is. It's His person. Can I give you a few things about His person? The person of God, number one, is holy. That ought to make a Presbyterian say hallelujah. The person of God is holy. Why is that so important? Why do we find phrases like this all throughout the Bible? I forgot, counted them, but didn't write it down. There's several of these mentions where the Bible says, to be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible said in Leviticus 19:2, speaking to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and saying to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. 1 Samuel 2:2 said, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Psalm 71:22, I will also praise thee with a psaltery, even thy truth, O God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Psalm 99:5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. I need you to hear me tonight. There's only one God, capital G-O-D, God in the universe that is altogether holy. And that's our God tonight. There are many little G gods in the world, but only one obtains and maintains and retains pure holiness. And that's God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. They're three but one, and they're one but three. Somebody ought to better tonight that the person of our God is H-O-L-Y, holy tonight. I'm telling you, the bloods of bulls and goats can't make man righteous. Fat Buddha can't make man righteous. Modest blouses and hair buns can't make man righteous. But the blood of the Lord Jesus can make you and I righteous. Why? Because He is holy tonight. He's holy. You know what's the only reason you and I get to go to heaven? It is not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when you got saved, His righteousness is imputed unto you. Somebody said, what does it mean to be saved? Here's what it means. You realize how dirty you are. Well, I got anybody that realizes. But the day comes when God reveals that your filthiness is why He came. And when He came, He got on that cross, brother, and He took our sin. He took our unrighteousness. He not just took it, He became our sin. I ain't nobody can love me. Hey, He can't love you. He became you. First, you just don't know
how long I've been, it don't matter. He took it all on the cross. Yeah. And he died. And when the blood of the Lord Jesus ran well, Calvary's blessed heal. Yes. It washed all my sins away. Yes. I tell you, that's the only way I'm not made righteous. Was because the person of our God is nothing but holy tonight.
Amen.
He's nothing but holy.
Yeah.
And that's why we shout and we sing. Because we know what we are.
That's right.
If y'all don't start acting like Baptists right here, I mean old fashioned, Holy Ghost saved out of hell, back, I'm going to throw stuff. We know what we are.
Yeah.
Think about this. If y'all really contemplate on this, it'll make somebody want to shout.
Yeah.
God, once you got saved, God no longer knows
right.
what you were.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He has no idea. You ever go to God and start confessing stuff? He's up there shaking his head saying, I don't know what these people are talking about. I'm looking at their name and all I see it says is Jesus Christ, paid in full, bought by the blood. I'm telling you, hey, glory to God. Our God is holy tonight. That's why I praise Him. He's a holy God tonight. He's holy. He's more than religion. He's more than a routine. I don't come to church out of routine.
That's right.
I ain't here tonight because it's Wednesday night and that's what I do. Oh no, He's more than religion. He's more than a routine. He's more than a rule giver. You know why a lot of people don't ever want to get saved? They think, well, they got to do this and I can't do that. I got to start this and I can't do that. And I got to stop that and I got to start this. I can't do that. And if I do that, I put my beard down. If I do that, I can't keep looking at that stuff on the internet. If I do that, I got to move out, keep shack up with my girlfriend. If I do that, I can't steal. If I do that, I can't go down there to the poker machines. Hello, need a little help right there.
Yeah.
If you say, don't not be down at the poker machines.
That's right.
You really are a good witness down there at the poker machine, sir. You know what you're telling everybody around you, Mr. Christian? That God ain't enough. You gonna have to gamble your way to get some extra money. Hey, God's giving me more money than a stinking out of hell slot machine could ever give me. God's my provider. God's my multiplier. I tell you, we ought to live righteous because He is righteous. Oh yeah, I feel a little tension, so I'm going to hit on it again.
Yeah.
Get off the blessed fire poker machines.
Amen.
Quit buying scratch-offs at the gas station out of hell.
Yeah.
I mean, we ought to rear back and trust God. You ought not do what the world does, friend. You ought not hang out down there at the smokehouse where they all pushing a button, hoping their whole eternity will change. I'm telling you, I've got a God takes care of me.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't turning the ways of this world. God is my provider, and He is holy tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I'll preach on it. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all want a pastor or a best friend? I'm going to be your preacher and tell you, get off them hell-bound, hell-sick, crawled out of hell, bunch of out of hell. Somebody ought to help me. I'm going to preach till I get a little help. You ought not be gambling, friend. Is your name Judas or not? I mean, I want to look like Jesus, not Judas. I'm trusting my Lord. He is holy, so I'm to be holy.
Amen.
Amen. Crawled out of hell. Bunch of gambling. Bunch of Christians out of hell. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we're supposed to be different.
Right.
Oh, I don't know what some of y'all... Well, you go down there and fish in tournaments. Look up in here. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I ain't placing a bet.
That's
right. I'm paying an entry fee. I try to work my way into something. And it never works. You know what gambling is? Gambling's hoping you're going to win something. When I pay them entry fees in tournaments, I don't know I'm going to lose. Somebody say amen. I don't know I'm going to lose. Listen to me. We're to be holy. For He is holy. The person of our God is holy. Can I tell you what else ought to praise Him? If you're still breathing, you ought to be bellowing. Not only is the person of our God holy, but think about this. He's honorable. Why are y'all tightening up on me? I'm talking about praising God. He's honorable. He's holy, preacher, but He's honorable. You know what the Bible said? In 1 Chronicles 16:27, the Bible said, glory and honor are in His presence.
You know what the Bible said in Psalm 8:5? For thou hast made him a little lower than angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. You know what the Bible said in Psalm 66:2? Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. You know what Psalm 104:1 said? Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. There's a bunch of little G gods. Ain't none of them honorable. They're all mortal man just like us. But there ain't, as Larry Brown said, there ain't nobody like him. He's high, he's holy, and he's honorable tonight. I praise him for his person. He's holy, he's honorable, and he's high.
That's right.
75 times in the King James Bible, the Lord is referred to as being high. He's way up there, son. You didn't understand? Listen to me. I need y'all. I'm busting stuff. Let's just bust it. He ain't the man upstairs. He's God.
Amen.
I just want to thank the big man. Hey, hold a minute. We ain't talking about who's living up in the attic. He's G-O-D God, friend. He's high. He's holy and he's honorable. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the chief. He's not the big guy. He's God Almighty. He's honorable, he's high, and he's holy.
Yeah.
Bible says this in 2 Samuel 22:3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. How many of y'all have we sing that? Jesus is my high tower. He's high tonight. He's way, somebody ought to help me. He's way up high tonight. He's high and lifted up. David said, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from above. Anytime God stoops down to this place and to these people and he meets with us, he has to take a major demotion from the glory world to make himself known. Somebody ought to thank God and praise God. The person of our God's not just holy and honorable, but it's high. He's high and lifted up tonight. He's very high in the presence of a God Almighty tonight. Psalm 18:2 said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay vows unto the Most High. Psalm 57:2, I will cry unto God Most High. Psalm 71:19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Psalm 113:5, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, may I say tonight, you ought to praise God over his person. And the person of God is holy. The person of God is honorable. The person of God is high. Listen, our God's in a high place. He's our high priest. But best of all, he paid a high price. Glory to God. I said, our God's in a high place. He's my high priest. And he paid a high price. That's why I praise the Lord tonight. He's a very high and lifted up God. He's holy, he's honorable, he's high and lifted up.
Amen.
Not only am I going to praise God for his person, but number two, I want to praise God for his place.
Amen.
Verse number one, look with me again, Psalm 150. Some of y'all are all right? I feel like you're fixing to have a heart attack. You okay?
Yeah.
I need an inhaler. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Praise ye the Lord. There's his person. Praise God in his... Oh boy, I see a place.
Yeah, yes.
I see a place tonight. As long as you're breathing, you ought to be bettering. Is anybody glad for this place?
Yes.
Now I understand you've got the super spiritual that says, well, you know, the church ain't the church ain't the building, it's the body. Oh, I know that, friend, but God has called the body into a building. That's still King James Bible. God wants his body to assemble together in a building. And y'all need references for that? God wants his body to assemble together in the building. I understand it don't have to be the four walls of a church. It can be a hayfield somewhere. But God still wants this to be a place. Listen, you can't deny that it's in the sanctuary that God comes by and God's presence falls and his power moves and his Holy Ghost draws in this place. I praise him tonight, not just for his person, I praise him for his place. This is not, it's not just a song, it's Bible that this is a good place. This is God's place. It's King James Bible tonight. The Cornell Assembly was not man's idea. Do you know that? It's God's idea. Psalm 26:8 said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Psalm 96:6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You know what God, what Solomon did? Y'all remember, you know your Bible. Have you ever studied the Old Testament? You see the presence of God. It didn't abide in people.
Right.
It was in places and places only.
Right. Yep.
It started with the Ark of the Covenant. And they couldn't even touch the ark. It would kill them. And if you remember, as they're making it through the wilderness journey, that Ark of the Covenant began to fall. And there was a man stepped out, keep from slipping, to keep from falling. And when he touched it, uphold the glory of God, it killed him dead. And then David already had it working in his heart. There's going to be a place for this glory. Then Solomon came through and built the first temple. And then we find, you know what happened at Calvary, don't you? The glory of God it abode in the temple, in the tabernacle, and it was behind the veil. It was in the holiest of holies, is what it was called.
Yeah, that's
right. Did you know, as a priest, they would put bells and pomegranates on the priest's attire, and they'd tie a rope around his ankle, because when he went behind the veil, where the holiest of holies, where the presence of God was, if he was unclean in any way, if he was not right, it would kill him graveyard dead. And when they could hear them pomegranates and them bells ringing, they'd take that rope and they'd pull him out because he died in the holiest of holies. Look here, there was no way for mankind to access the presence of God. But on Calvary.
Yeah.
Amen.
I wish I'd get somebody to start bellowing. We all sound like a field full of cows tonight. Because on Calvary, everything changed.
Yep.
Amen. When God said it is, he looked up to heaven and he said these words, it is finished. The Bible said that the clouds rolled around, the world went dark. The Bible said that the temple was rent, the veil was torn. My friend, there was no more holy of holies in the fleshly world. But God did open the portal to our heart. Think about this. It wasn't even fit for God to dwell in a gold house. But God's plan was not for the glory of God to dwell in Solomon's temple, which was a cube of gold. But God took us out of a gold house, and he put his presence in a clay house. Hey, glory to God. I praise him for his place now. And then when all of us come in here, we're indwelling the presence of God, if we're saved. We come in here, God manifests himself in the place.
Yeah.
I praise him for his person. But I praise him for this place.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing what all we've seen God do in this place?
Amen.
Can I tell y'all a little secret? Can I tell you the secret? The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Can I walk us down memory lane how precious the place is? You remember the place that we're buying, but you remember how precious it was over here?
Yeah.
In that place? Y'all remember the place, you remember?
Yeah.
Brother Justin, we moved right along through the months. Hell's fighting on every corner. But you know what you told me in that parking lot? This ain't throwing stones, it's what you said, and I believe you. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like what I see at this place.
Amen. God's place. Yeah.
That makes me want to bail it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I want to give a hee-haw donkey kick to that one.
Hey,
man.
Yeah.
Brother Seth, what God done for you in this place.
Yeah.
He ain't done.
That's right. That's right.
Don't believe he's done. He ain't done.
That's helping me.
God don't do all them stuff in a place. Just say, okay, but I hope you enjoyed it. It's done. No.
Amen.
Remember when Brother Caleb and Miss Brandy and all y'all came in, but they came in after y'all and they just wandered in and nothing ever really was coming up, and all of a sudden something changed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It must mean something to you for you to show where everybody's done.
That's right. Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Do I need to drag you up here and remind you of the place?
Yeah.
You got something to praise him for, honey.
Amen.
God's given us a place.
Right.
Miss Amanda drag in here 3 years ago. I mean, wounded. I mean, I didn't know if she's going to survive or not.
Yeah.
And she's plugged right in, smiles back on her face, tears of joy coming down her face. Up there running a live stream and doing this, that, and the other. I mean, there's a part of her that was recharged and renewed and restored that she or nobody else probably thought would ever occur. God had a place.
Amen.
Is everybody listening to me? I'm telling you, we got something to praise him about. Of course, we praise him for his person. But he said, praise the Lord in his sanctuary.
Yeah.
It has been a good place.
Amen. Well, you got up out of your seat over here. You was in here. You was here, but you wasn't here. But God done some great things for you. You got things right with the Lord, and you got called to preach. I mean, and God used this place. It was your sister in this place. See, and I'm just trying to hold hands with everybody and walk you down memory lane. God's got a lot in this place. I bless His name for it.
Amen.
It's a special place.
Yes, sir.
It
sure is.
Amen. Because none of us make it that way. We couldn't make this nothing but what it is.
Yes, sir.
The most we can do is put a fresh coat of paint on the walls, vacuum the floor. That's all we can do.
Right.
Best thing we can do is maybe build an awning over a door, or spray paint the parking lot, or pressure wash the parking lot, or put up a new mailbox, or throw new chairs in, or get a new piano. I mean, all we can do is off the surface.
Right. Yeah.
What really matters is only one man that can do it.
Yeah.
And He does it.
Amen.
So we ought to praise Him for His place. The sanctuary is a place where God does a lot of saving.
Oh, yeah.
They said, some of y'all going to get saved in this place. You don't even know it yet. You're going to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, some of y'all been saved in here. It's a good place to get saved, ain't it?
Amen.
If y'all don't act better than that, I'm going to wonder if you really got it. I said it's a good place to get saved. It's in the place, the sanctuary of God. He does a lot of saving. He does a lot of helping. He does a lot of molding. He does a lot of making. He does a lot of teaching. He does a lot of restoring. He does a lot of forgiving. Can I get some help? God does a whole lot of forgiving in His place. It's a place where God does a lot of preaching and God does a lot of moving. I'm trying to tell you, we ought to thank God for His place tonight.
Amen.
Psalm chapter 150 explains not only why we ought to praise Him in His place, but how we ought to praise Him in His place. Ain't you glad God don't just tell us to praise Him, but don't tell us how to praise Him? Can I show you tonight? It's very pastoral, this part is, but I want us to look at it together. And I'll be done. Probably won't get through all of it tonight. But within the four walls of the sanctuary, we've talked about why we ought to praise Him, but here's how we ought to praise Him. And so, first of all, let me give you two more whys, and then we'll look at the hows. Number one, we ought to praise Him for His acts. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, praise Him for His mighty acts. What are His mighty acts? Well, everything I just said. We're not going to re-preach it, but the acts of God in the sanctuary, one of His acts is His goodness. It's an act of God that His goodness is displayed in His place. It's an act of God that His glory is put on display in His place. And it's an act of God for just God being God in His place. That's His mighty acts. Number 2, within the four walls of the sanctuary, we ought to praise the Lord not only for His acts, but for His account. Look at verse number 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Right here's His account. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. That is His testimony.
Yeah.
I ain't never met nobody that can say anything but God is excellent greatness.
Yeah.
That's His account. We see His acts. We see His account. What is His account? Consist of His excellent greatness. It is composed of His promises.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I mean, God is excellent in greatness because of His promises. God's excellent in greatness because of His protection. God's excellent in greatness because of His perfection. God's excellent in greatness because of His presence. God is excellent in greatness because of His power.
Amen.
All of which can be seen, heard, or both in His place.
Right.
So there's two more as to why we praise, but how do we praise? Now I'm going to struggle with this word. I don't know why, but I'm going to struggle with it, so just bear with me. Say number 1. It's not even a hard word. My tongue ties up. Within the four walls of this sanctuary, we ought to praise the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord with your, we'll say it very slow like Cook on Phonics, accompaniment. It's a real word. A-C-C-O-M-P-A-N-I-M-N-T. There's the definition. That's the only time I'm saying it. It's a real word. Here's what it means. It's a musical part that supports or partners a solo instrument, voice, or group. Accompaniment. I said it twice, wrong both times. It is an instrument or vocal part made to support a melody. God, in verse number 2, or verse number 3, says this. We've looked at why we praise Him in His place, but how do we praise Him in His place? Verse number 3, praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. That is the accompany. I'm just going to shorten it. Accompany of our voice. His trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Okay, verse 4, praise Him with the timbrel dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. We've looked at why we praise Him in His place, but how do we praise Him in His place? Praise Him, verse 5, upon loud sound cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals.
Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Number one, I want to say this, how we praise Him. Number one, you ought to praise the Lord with your sound. Do you know God's give everybody a sound? Can everybody say, can everybody holler? I just don't holler. I bet when somebody jumps behind the corner at the house in the dark, you holler. I don't sing. That's a lie. Everybody sings. You might not do it around people, but you sing. You hum. You whistle. You know where all that came from? God put that naturally in man to praise Him. How do we praise Him at church? What do we sing congregationals for? Praise the Lord. What did Brother Elijah do tonight when he sang? Praise the Lord. When I tell y'all, hey, somebody, say amen. It ain't just so I feel good. I want you to know what this book says is true, and you ought to praise the Lord. And it's not just for you or for us. It's for Him. You praise Him with your sound. Look at verse 3. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Now, I understand we all know a trumpet. I understand that. But you know, a trumpet is also referred to like this in the Bible. In Isaiah 58:1, the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a... You know what God is saying? I believe in the physical trumpet. I've been to churches where they have a trumpet. And you're talking about helping that congregational song when it talks about blowing a trumpet and they light out a solo. I mean, I feel like the angels fixing to carry me out of there. I've been in them when they do that. But I want to just, we ain't got no trumpets here. So we're going to look at Isaiah 58 and see what that trumpet is. It's a sound, irregardless whether it's an instrument or if you're the instrument sounding as a trumpet. Does everybody see that? Did you know some of y'all are missing out on church and all you got to do one time to really get the best experience out of church is stand up and say, hallelujah! That's going to change your world.
Amen.
It's really going to change your whole world. When the preacher, you feel like, oh boy, that's right. Oh yeah, I feel that. Oh yeah, I'm picking up what you're throwing down, homie, right to the now. Oh, if you just stand up and say, amen! It'll change your whole experience at church.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. Did you know when you sit out there, you're not an audience?
Yeah.
I'm not up here playing charades.
Right.
I'm declaring what I'm a mailman in a suit.
Right.
All I'm doing is preaching what He said. And you can't dispute if I'm preaching the book, it's right.
Yeah.
And so if it's right, you know what the Bible commands you to do? Yeah. Say amen. And praise the Lord. Did you know you don't even have to say amen? If I'm really spiritual, something that's helping you, you can stand up and say, that's helping me.
Yeah.
You stand up and say, glory to God, preacher.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't say nothing. You're in such awe, all you can do is cry. You can stand up and lift your hands and cry to the Lord.
Amen.
You know what? Everybody's going to, I told you, praise is either seen or heard or both.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't make the sound, it's what you do that praises God. I'm going to quit asking if everybody's got two arms because that's getting me in trouble right over here. She ain't here tonight. Amen. Has everybody got two arms? Some people's only got one, some people got one and a half. Can I get a little help? So I'm going to quit saying that. If you have an arm, has everybody got an arm? Would everybody just do this? I just want y'all to know that you can do that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Just leave it up there. Some of y'all need to leave it up until you get married. That happy.
Amen.
Y'all see this? Y'all know what everybody's doing? When we're up here singing, God's been good in my life. I mean, is there anybody here that could say God's not been good in your life?
No,
so you know what you ought to do when we sing that? Come on, somebody, help me get them arms back up. One and a half, or two. I'll take all three situations. Well, you got one and a half, or two. Now, come on, keep them up. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to keep you up. You need to realize your arm goes up for more than swatting mosquitoes.
Amen.
You know what this is? Hey, you're praising the Lord. You believe that? I can show it to you in the Bible. Has everybody got one? Or two hands or one and a half hands. Has everybody got, can you clap enough? Can you clap two hands? If you ain't got two hands, clap enough. Come on. You know what this is?
Praise the Lord. Maybe you don't have two legs. Maybe you only got one half or one and a half of the real one or a fake one. Does everybody got two legs at work? Can y'all stand up? Can you stand up? Come on now. It's just Wednesday night. It's just family. Now we're going to try something right here. Now, I know some of y'all are dyslexic and it's going to mess you up real bad. But stand up and raise an arm. Or one and a half or one or two. You know what you're doing? I got it up here. I feel so short. You know what y'all are doing? Come on, somebody. You're praising the Lord. Did you know it don't have to be a song? You can do that right in the middle of preaching.
Amen.
You can do that in prayer time.
Yes, sir.
But you are under an obligation. If you're breathing to be better, and it don't have to be out your mouth, it can be with your body. You know what this is doing? It's speaking volumes. It's saying loudly, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can be seated. I just want y'all to know you can do it. Say it ain't in me. That ain't who I am. It's going to be who you are when little Junior scores his first basketball score in the basketball game. You're going to jump up and make a blame fool of yourself. I ain't telling you not to. If Elijah plays anything or does anything, I mean, first time he scores a touchdown or makes a basket or punches a kid in the nose and whatever, I'm gonna stand up and say, yeah, that's my boy. What's wrong with saying it when we're singing things like, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times, but by my side, He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. What's wrong with standing up and saying, that's my God? God has been my Father. He's my Savior and my friend. His love is my beginning, and His love will be my end. And I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way I know to say it is like this. God's been good. Ain't nobody in the church talking about me doing that. I don't care if you're as lost as a golf ball in high weeds. He's been good that you got breath in your lungs and you ain't in hell somewhere. When we get to that, God's been good. I mean, I'm getting the goosebumps now. You ought to say, amen, He's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times, but by my side, He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. We ought to praise Him with our sound. Can I say tonight, He is worthy of our praise. Not only should we praise Him with our sound. I knew I'd run out of time. You ought to praise Him with your strum. And I need 3 to 5 minutes to be pastor right here. Look at verse number 3 with me. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. How many of y'all know that harp? When David played that harp, Brother Chris had a strum. Stringed instruments. You know what that piano is? Stringed instrument. It has a strum. Guitar. You know what that is? Stringed instrument has a strum or has a rhythm. Now I need you to go with me right here just for a moment. Not only do we praise Him with our sound, but we're to praise Him with our strum. And I'm not just talking about stringed instruments. I'm talking about the rhythm of praise.
Yeah.
So you need to think spiritually with me just for a moment. We're talking about deeper than a guitar. You know, you can play guitar and get off time and miss, you know, bang, 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 bang. You ever been in church and somebody's praise was out of offbeat?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was out of tune. Oh, yeah. You know, that's a good way to tell if it's really genuine praise or not. If it's really genuine sacrificial praise, it'll be in me.
Yeah.
God don't confuse nobody. Look at it. Have you ever been in a real solid service? And by the way, sometimes that's the way God wants it, quiet and still. People just crying and praying and getting help. Maybe loving one another. And somebody decides to just stand up and start squalling like a coyote. You know what that is? Try to beat. The strum's off.
Right, yeah.
Can I encourage you as your pastor to try to follow God? And when you are praising God, make sure you're in rhythm.
Yeah.
Be sensitive to what's going on. If it's not a shout, I'm going to put the pressure on myself, but I'm going to tell you, these older men of God will tell you what to do. Yeah. How many of y'all believe God works in the church like this? God is going to moderate the service through the pastor. Am I right or am I wrong?
Amen.
I'm going to know what service works. Can I tell you all, I hate to put pressure on myself, but if you're new, or maybe you just don't know, maybe you're just eager to learn, but you don't really know the voice of God yet, watch me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am the example.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. If I'm sounding pretty good indicator, it's okay, shout.